Where did the confidence come to start writing and researching in this work?
I didn't need confidence to write it. I wanted to write it, and I ignored everything that would get in the way of it because I knew it was important, not in terms of my success, but in terms of for me personally. I wanted to write it for me. And
Got
I don't
it.
need confidence with that because the only reason why I would need confidence is if I was trying to prove something.
One of the things that makes us most human is thinking. Animals clearly think as well, but they don't think at the level or depth that we do. A male lion doesn't wake up and begin contemplating why a female lion is acting strange, and should he roar softer to get her attention? And what will that mean to her best friend? Overthinking is clearly a human endeavor, and my guest today believes thinking is the beginning and end of suffering. Welcome to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm your host, Timothy Maurice. Simon Sinek, Deepak Chopra, and Kendall Jenner probably have very little in common except their praise for my guest today. Joseph Nguyen is one of my favorite guests of all time simply because he's the most unconventional. Joseph's book, Don't Believe Everything You Think, Why Your Thinking is the Beginning and the End of Suffering, is a book we all need to read. And you're about to hear why. I opened the conversation with my favorite feature called Inside Your Mind. Meet Joseph Nguyen. Enjoy.
Well, before we dive into the content, let's talk a little bit about your brain. So I have to peel back your brain to go inside of it through a feature called Inside Your Mind, where we ask you 7 light questions, either or type questions. Can we do that?
That sounds fun.
All right, here we go. Number one, spring or summer?
I'll say spring.
Number two, listening or teaching?
Listening.
Number three, hiking or swimming?
Swimming.
Number four, driving or e-hailing, Ubering?
E-hailing.
These get really tricky, by the way. Number five, Toronto or Kyoto?
I'll say Kyoto.
Nice. Have you been there before?
No, but I believe I would like it much more.
Okay, cool.
I've been
number
to Toronto.
Six. Okay, cool. Number six, podcast or newspaper?
Podcast.
And finally, the most challenging of them all, thinking or meditating?
I'll say the politically correct answer, meditating.
All right, good answer. Thank you for allowing us to go inside your mind, Joseph. You know, this conversation is zooming in on practical advice to help people relax, chill out a bit, remove anxiety, and stop overthinking. I have so many conversations that I find valuable around this, but what I liked about your framing is that it came at it from a different angle. Let's talk a little bit about your background and your research and why you decided to focus on thinking.
Yeah, so my background, a lot of the book is based on just my own personal curiosities. So it came from just being very interested in philosophy itself, Eastern and Western, a little bit more so Eastern than West, but I love both. And then psychology, just intrigued me so much ever since I was a little kid. I just enjoyed people watching, just listening, seeing why people did what they did, questioning everything all the time, and looking at Stoicism, which is a lot of the principles are based on that, as well as Buddhism, Zen, Taoism. A little bit of Hinduism. I was born and raised Catholic, so I have a lot of background in there. And so there's so many different religions, ideologies, philosophies that I just loved. It's hard to choose one for me. And so what I did was I took the best parts of each and essentially blended it down into and distilled it down into the simplest framework possible, because all of them were really trying to get at the same thing, pointing at the same truth, although it's ineffable and almost indescribable what that truth is. All of them try to do it and to just help us live better lives and to find more peace, love, and joy. That's all really the goal of all of those. So I enjoy blending all of those and seeing what works. And so this is the product of that. In terms of a little bit more practical background of me, my parents immigrated over from Vietnam, and so I was kind of like the first gen over here. And that was very hard for my parents because they had no English, no money, nothing. So they did everything they could in order to kind of climb up the ladder as much as they could. They wanted to give us an education, and that was what they prioritized, was just learning, constant learning. And I think that's where I got a lot of the curiosities from. I grew up and then eventually started a business to help my parents grow their business, which was an advertising agency, and really loved doing that. But I quickly fell out of love with it after it became extremely stressful. So working 12 hours a day, accomplishing most, if not all, of my goals that I had, just the typical story of grinding very, very hard for years and then burning out. I fell out of love with what I was doing. I didn't really like the clients or industry I was working with. At the time, my business partner and I split, so I went 50 grand into debt at the age of 21. My partner had a chronic illness, and she is hospitalized multiple times and had to get a feeding tube. So that was probably one of the most challenging times in my entire life. And that was the height of my anxiety, and you can probably call it depression, because I just lost almost all hope for anything, because what I thought I wanted after I accomplished it, I realized is not what I actually wanted. So that hit me like a ton of bricks, and that's when I hit rock bottom. And I tried everything I possibly could to alleviate that chronic anxiety, and I tried meditation, I tried all sorts of therapies, hypnotherapy, Reiki, CBT. I did inner work, shadow work. I'd studied like Jungian psychology and all of that stuff. I did Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditation retreat for 7 days in Cancun, went there and tried to transcend a lot of these things. I went even went vegan for a while to see if the foods that I was eating was causing a lot of the emotional turmoil that was going on within my body. So what's interesting about all of that is that they all worked. The only issue was that they worked temporarily. So during the time that I was using the modality, it was working. An example of this would be when I'm meditating for 10 minutes, I can feel peace, a little bit, much less anxiety in those things. But as soon as I opened my eyes and had to go back to work, that's when all of the anxiety would come rushing back in. And I think that's a very common thing that happens to most, if not all of us. And so that was when I started to question a lot of things. I exhausted, oh, it was only when I exhausted all external options that I began to look inwards, which was my own mind, and began questioning the source of all of these different things. And so one of the things that I started looking at was, I just looked at my life and I said, I can't be the only one going through this, because I look outside and everyone's also struggling. So how is that possible? But then I also looked and saw, how is it possible that two different people can have pretty similar experiences but have completely different outlooks of life? How can they feel differently? Right. So I can't be the only one that was a first gen immigrant that's trying to help their parents do this and going into chronic anxiety, running a business and all this stuff. So how are other people able to run businesses while loving their life, being very joyful and excited? So that's when I realized that it's not necessarily the experiences that cause the way that we feel. It's not the events that happen to us that cause our emotions. It's the way that we think about those events. And that was the big difference. Two people can go
Got
through the
it.
same thing, but think about it differently and have very different outcomes. So that was when I started to see a little bit more about, oh, like maybe I can change things, but maybe I don't need to change things externally.
I want to take one step back, though. So you're in your 20s, you're grappling with life, and you've got to, and you're just trying to figure it out, and you're trying all types of stuff. Where did the confidence come to start writing and researching in this work?
I didn't need confidence to write it.
It
I
just
just wanted
started
to write
pouring
it.
out. Okay.
I wanted to write it, and I ignored everything that would get in the way of it because I knew it was important, not in terms of my success, but in terms of for me personally. I wanted to write it for me. And I
Got
don't
it.
need confidence with that because the only reason why I would need confidence is if I was trying to prove something to someone
Yeah.
else or try to be someone.
Yeah.
But that didn't matter to me that at all. All that mattered was, can I transfer this knowledge onto paper and make it useful for someone else? And whether I do it or not, that doesn't really matter to me. That's more of on the reader if they got, because I can't help everyone, but if it can help me, then I'm sure it can help someone. And so that's kind of how I approach a lot of things in life now. And it's less about, do I feel like I can do it? It's more about, let me try to do it and see what happens. And I'm okay with whatever happens.
You know, I want to dedicate this conversation to a guy I met once in a market where he was crafting bags and so forth. And he taught me a lot. He practiced Buddhism and he taught me some powerful stuff. I said, why don't you do more to brand yourself? And why don't you consider strategy around marketing? He says, you know what? I am so dedicated and in love with my craft that I hope the energy reverberates from this work. And I really want to kind of move away from the dangerous ego side of it. And I just paused and I looked at him, and it was the most pure answer I'd ever felt. And there's something really powerful and refreshing about that. You know, in that early phase when you were writing, you know, what were you feeling? Were you feeling this? Were you feeling gratitude? What were you feeling when you just started pouring?
The best word would be awe, because it wasn't coming
Wow.
from me, but through me. And I think that's the best ideas. It had no ego. It wasn't trying to prove anything, be anything. It wasn't trying to justify what was being said through over evidence, things like that. It just was pure and raw. And I knew that it wasn't, because it wasn't from me, I didn't try to hold it in any way. I just let it be what it is. And there are people that, of course, don't resonate with it, but a lot of people do. And that's going to be with anything that we put out into the world. And
Sure.
so I kind of released all expectations of that and just let it be what it wanted to be. A lot of times you'll hear this in artists and musicians is they really do feel like it's the inspiration is coming through them, and they just get out of the way. That's it.
Yep.
Whatever wants to be expressed will be expressed.
Yeah, absolutely. You have you really believe that thinking is the beginning and end of suffering?
I do, but I want to caveat with what thinking, how I personally define thinking,
Okay, cool.
because people have different preconceived notions of what it is. To me, or I guess the typical definition of thinking would just be any activity in the mind or analysis of anything. But I would say that thinking is different and thought is different. And that's one of the main, like the main thesis of the book, if you could call it that. And to give you an idea, so thought is different than thinking. Thought, an example, or the definition for me is it's a neutral observation or non-judgment of some, of just anything, an event or anything like that. It could be an intuitive prompting as well. Thinking, on the other hand, is the judgment of an event or your own thoughts. An example of this, to make it more concrete, is let's say it's raining outside. The thought that would come into your mind is, it is raining. That's a neutral observation. Non-judgment. It is what it is. Thinking, on the other hand, is, this rain ruined my day. Why does this always happen to me? I'm so unlucky. All of these stories is what creates the suffering. And those stories are unnecessary because why is labeling it that? How is that going to help you? All it does is just make you a victim of whatever's happening. But if you just looked at it from more of a more non-judgmental and observational perspective, which is it is what it is, not good or bad, it's just that's it's rain. And then we can see it more for what it is, which is both ends of the spectrum, good and bad. Meaning this rain, well, it hasn't rained in maybe 2 or 3 weeks, so it's probably refilling a lot of the aquifers, so we have more water and we won't go into a drought, or it's helping the trees and the flowers. On the other hand, it could cause a flood in my area and destroy a lot of the things. So both of these things can be simultaneously true. We don't really live in like an either or, we live in a both type of world. So when you kind of look at it from that neutral standpoint, you can see much more of what it truly is rather than one perception of what it of what you believe it to be it what you believe it to be. So that's one way that looking at it from this lens can really help you find a little bit more peace in life because you're not so caught up in just one way of viewing things.
Whether you're an influencer, a leader, an executive, we all have this sort of propensity to overthink, and we can get caught in our thoughts. I mean, as a writer, researcher myself, as a person who's trying to make sense of the world, I often find myself going down rabbit holes. You know, for people, we are a generation of people. In fact, after René Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am," I think so much of our identity is built on our ability to think, to solve problems.
Correct.
And you're coming with this idea that there should we should sort of pause a bit and really sort of process in a busy world. How do we do that?
Well, you kind of said the answer within the question, which is to pause. Most of us
Okay.
are so, especially in the Western culture, is we're so busy rushing to the next spot that we never really get to take in the view. We want faster cars, we want faster transportation, we want bigger and better things, but all those things block us from seeing the beauty that's already there, the beauty that we actually want, that's free from trying to prove anything to anyone or be anyone other than yourself, without anything to need to defend or uphold. You're free, and I think that's one of the most beautiful states that you can be in. At the end of the day, why do we want all these things? Why do we want success? Why do we want fame? Why do we want generational wealth? It's to feel something. We're all optimizing for emotions, not the actual thing. We never really want the thing. So, what is the emotion that you want to feel behind the thing that you're going for? Let's say it's the money. What are you trying to feel from the money? It's most likely security. It's maybe a sense that you're enough. A sense of accomplishment. And maybe afterwards, then you can finally be at peace. So then the question becomes not if you can attain those, the thing that you think you need to feel that. Is it possible to feel those emotions now without needing to accomplish those things? And there are so many different ways that you can do that. One of which is just untangling the belief that you need to accomplish those things, or to be that person or whatever it is to feel that. And if you realize that all of the beliefs that we currently have are the reason that we don't feel the way that we want. We believe we need the money to feel this way. We believe that we need to accomplish this thing or have this award or have this recognition to feel this way. But is that actually true? Have you felt those emotions without having those things that you think you need? Most of the time, it's yes. Most of the time, it's being with your family. Most of the time, it's being in solitude, not rushing to be anywhere, not needing to do anything. And that's when we feel that sense of peace, that sense of enoughness, if you want to call it that.
So how do you reconcile, Joseph, quickly, how do you reconcile the idea of, for example, having a vision board? One of the guests that I have on often is
I
Dr.
love
Tara
that.
Swart.
I
Yes,
actually made one
she's
back then.
Oh, did you? Did
Yeah.
you? The desire to envision, the desire to imagine, the desire
Yes.
to use your brain to take you somewhere while also sort of pausing and relaxing,
And being
etc. How
happy
do you
now.
reconcile the
Yeah.
two?
Yeah. I believe that they're not mutually exclusive. And it's a fantastic question. I had a vision board before, and interestingly enough, almost everything, I think everything on that thing became true, even though I haven't looked at it in probably a decade. So there is, it's obvious that it works. So I would say that imagination, vision building, and planning in those ways is not necessarily thinking, because thinking, like I said, is judgment of an event, yourself, your own thoughts, other people. Thoughts, on the other hand, and this is where the other kind of nuanced version of thought comes in, which is it can come through the form of imagination, creativity, and a lot of the things that we need in order to build something. So I would say that that's more intuition and heart-based thought than judgmental thinking. So in that way, once we're, but we can't get to that spot unless we let go of our own thinking. That's the thing. If we're so busy with preconceived notions of things, our own erroneous beliefs about ourselves and other people or the world, and we're constantly judging other people, but that's really because we're judging ourselves and so hard on ourselves. It's just a reflection. If we're so busy doing that, where is the space to imagine a future, to imagine, to create something that we never had before? So we first have to empty our cups before we can fill it with something else. So that's why the first section of the book really focuses on how can we let go of the thinking, because we're so entrenched in that. We can't add in additional thought if our mind is already full of what already was. So after that, and we're able to let go, then we have space. And that's when we start utilizing, I would just say, creativity, intuition mostly, and we can see what wants to be created. And that's exactly why I wrote the book, is because once I let go of the thinking, I didn't believe that I couldn't do it. I didn't feel like I needed confidence. I didn't think that I wasn't enough. I just dismissed all of that, all of those judgments, and allowed myself to operate from a space of thought of just, oh, I want to write this book. I'm just going to write the book. Without thinking, there is no blockage anymore. The thinking would definitely get in the way and say, who am I to write this book? What are my credentials? Where is my degree, PhD, all of these things? Where is the peer review and all the where's all the evidence? All of that would have gotten in the way of writing the book. So utilizing thought and creativity is a beautiful way to be able to create something in the world. And I call that creating goals from like inspiration versus desperation. Inspiration is more so from thought. Desperation is more so from thinking, which is fear-based. Can you, what do you want to create in the world? And I feel like the energy that is most pure in terms of creation is love. Love of what you're doing, love of the craft, love of people. And from that space, you can create the most amazing things in the world that change yourself. And maybe it does change the world, but it doesn't have to, because you don't need it to in order to be at peace and to be happy.
Such a beautiful thinker. In fact, I wish we could just sit down in a forum and have a conversation with, people. But I guess that's what podcast is for, people listening. But I'd
It's the
love to
biggest room.
sometimes, sometimes I enjoy feeling the emotion live from an audience. But anyway, that's my own moment I was just having. I was thinking about being triggered. I was thinking about, not only when you're being triggered, but let's say, for example, you're on social media and you're afraid, politically you see that I could be deported, or you feel as though jobs are completely out of my control. There's no investment. I've been going after venture capital for this, this particular tech venture. When you're in the middle of so much tension, so much frustration, how do you free yourself?
Yeah, great question. So it comes back to the basics, which is, are we able to realize what's most important to us in life? Do we really need the thing that we think we do, like that tech investment? Or is it true that if we lose our job that we can't ever get another one? Is it true that we can't ever learn anything ever again to upskill or to do something different? Those beliefs start coming in as soon as we listen to fear more than our own hearts. And so what really helps me is to go through the framework, which is really the goal is to let go of all of these things, and to realize that, well, what is most important to me right now? Is it trying to accomplish those things, or is it to feel peace and love? And ironically, when you let go of the fear that you think you need in order to try to navigate the world and to make things happen, and you come back to your own heart and trust in yourself again, then you start making decisions that create more opportunities for yourself. Because who doesn't love being around a person that is unbelievably joyful, peaceful, and just so heart-centered? that's when you become magnetic to opportunities, to people, and to all these things, and to ideas. So the first step in that is just going through the pause framework, which is P is pause, pausing and taking a deep breath. This is how you regulate your whole entire body and nervous system. It really only takes about a few minutes. And that's what I really encourage people to do. It doesn't take half an hour, it just takes a few moments. So first step is like pausing and taking deep breaths to ground you in the present moment. That's the only place that actually exists. We only have anxiety about the past or the future, or, you know, regrets about the past, anxiety about the future, only during those times. But that's because they don't exist and we can't control that. We can only control what's now. So that's the first step. A is the next step, which is ask. Ask yourself, is this thinking making me feel the way that I want? What questions do is, you know, an object in motion will stay in motion unless acted upon by an external source. Your mind will keep thinking the way that it's thinking unless you ask it a question to break the cycle. So questions act as an external force upon your mind to then liberate you from that same vicious cycle. So ask yourself that question, is this thinking making me feel the way that I want? If not, realize that you can change that and you can drop it at any moment. And that's the next step, which is you understand that you can let go of this thinking. Most people don't realize that we can actually stop the line of thinking that is going on. They believe we need to keep thinking this thing, otherwise something bad's going to happen. And that's what perpetuates it. But as soon as you let go of it, you're free and now can ideate and actually solve the problem if it needs to be solved, or just let go of it entirely because you realize it's outside of your control. So again, the power comes back to you whenever you're able to take a step back and view it from a more neutral standpoint instead of judging everything yourself and everyone. So that's you. Then S is say. Say and repeat the mantra, thinking is the root cause of suffering. And again, thinking is more so judgment about your thoughts, judgment about other people or yourself. And once you repeat that mantra, mantras are extremely powerful, not just because of the words that have the meaning that give you some sort of emotion from it, because it is locked in that sort of frequency. But mantras also help silence the thinking because the mind can't think of two things at once. You can only think of one thing. So if you're repeating this mantra, you're only concentrating on that one thing. And so the thinking starts to subside and then pass, just like clouds in the sky. And if the mantra is rooted in truth, it's even better, because then you start to embody what that is and believe that it's true. And that's what empowers you. So that's say the mantra, which is thinking is the root cause of suffering. You can use any mantra, honestly, as long as it is rooted in some sort of truth. So you can say, I am enough. You can say things like, peace is more important to me than anything else. Whatever it is to you, right? Use it and to repeat it to yourself as you're going through some sort of emotional trigger. And you'll quickly realize that the emotion, the intensity of the emotion is significantly reduced. Then the last step is E, experience. So we're not bypassing our emotions. We actually are experiencing our emotions fully. And that means not resisting it. Resistance comes from judgment. Judgment of the emotion, thinking, I shouldn't be feeling this. I'm too, I shouldn't, like, I'm a leader. I shouldn't be feeling these feelings. I thought I already, you know, overcame all this stuff. All of that is judgment of yourself and the emotion, which will perpetuate that emotion. So as soon as we come in with a lens of non-judgment and say, it's okay that I'm anxious. It's okay that I'm feeling whatever emotion it is that I'm going through. And I know that it'll pass. That's when you're able to just let it sit in your body and let it regulate itself. And neuroscience has said that it takes about 90 seconds for our bodies to process and regulate an emotion, but it only lasts longer because we re-trigger the emotion again, and it restarts that cycle because we're thinking about the emotion or that experience or ruminating on it. And that's what keeps us in that loop. So if we stop that judgment, then the 90 second timer can resume and it passes through our body. You know, that's why a lot of times when we go to, let's say we go to bed angry and wake up, a lot of times we feel a lot better. It's because the body had time to regulate and we're not thinking during our sleep. So that's what happens during that time. And that's what we can utilize in real time though, and don't need to wait for sleep in order to feel a little bit more relief. So that's the whole entire framework. That's pause, like PAUSE, go through that framework. It's very simple, very straightforward, and it's not meant to replace anything. It's not meant to replace your religious practices or meditation practices. It's meant to complement it. And that's the best part. And it'll actually deepen all of your other practices as well. So that's something that I would encourage people to try. Again, you don't have to believe it to be true. It's the same thing with gravity. You don't have to believe in gravity for it to work. All you have to do is just, it just works. So it's there for you to use it if you want. And I would encourage people to try it for 7 days. If it works, fantastic, keep doing it. If it doesn't, discard it and try to find something else. And I'm sure you'll find something that works.
I had a relationship. So I've had some really beautiful relationships. But the one where I found myself in a miserable month, I call it my miserable month, it was only one, is when I had to think too much. And I had just had an aha moment, a light bulb moment as you were speaking. And I was like, there is nothing more beautiful than to be in a relationship with yourself or another person or an organization where you can go into almost like a flow state and not necessarily have to overthink. And it's funny because as when I was thinking of doing this interview, I was like, where are we going to take this? And you just gave it to me in the middle. And sometimes I trust myself when I decide to accept an interview. I hadn't even read your credentials. I didn't even care. I didn't, I genuinely didn't. I was just really, really drawn to this work. Are you, do you do tours? Do you speak around the
No.
world? What has your life been like? Like, what are you doing right now with your, but yeah, besides putting this work out on podcast and media, like, do you practice this in consulting? Do you coach? What is your life like right now?
No, I don't do any of that. It's for me, it's a little bit too energy draining to coach, to practice, or to coach other people, to consult, to tour, to travel. I love staying at home with my wife. And my newborn now, and just being very happy, just peaceful. And for some people, touring is the most exhilarating thing that they could do. And I would encourage them to follow that bliss. For me, staying at home and just ideating, brainstorming, creating, and being with my family is the most exhilarating thing for me. So I more so traverse the landscape of the mind and imagination rather than the physical world. So that's what I spend my time doing, and I'm creating a lot of different things, like just different tech stuff I'm working on, different books, a lot of different lines of things that I'm working on. But it's just all very fun to me.
One of your mantras at the moment that you repeat to yourself.
That would be thinking is the root cause of suffering. That's it. And to follow my intuition. That's more so nowadays what it is. Follow my intuition.
Joseph, at this stage, let me just say this. I'm trusting my intuition, I'm trusting my instincts, and I want to close this interview and I want to say to people, please go get this book. I don't think I really have to say that. I think you're going to go get it. The book is entitled Don't Believe Everything You Think, Why Your Thinking is the Beginning and the End of Suffering. Joseph Nguyen, thank you so much for joining me on the Brain and Brand Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Timothy. It was so much fun.